Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Bonnie, to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. We are so excited to have you with us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. It really is.
Oh, I love it.
Well, you usually when you've, you know, people that we interview, that means that they are conquerors. They're survivors and winners. And so I'm really cool to hear, you know, what you did to get to the place where you're at now and what you went through.
Yeah, because it's certainly not easy.
No. Yeah.
I was just gonna say, it was not easy at all.
Yeah.
At all. I was diagnosed with Lyme 6 years ago. I had a classic bullseye rash. I was in a really bad marriage, and I said something day two, and he said, oh, shut up, you're overreacting. So 3 weeks later, I'm bedridden and finally allowed to go to the doctor. Shook one link in my rash and said, oh, that's Lyme. And both of us, being that we're in New Jersey, which is basically Tick Nation, not that it isn't worldwide, knew that, you know, people have died from this. I knew kids in grade school growing up that had died from it, and so did he. So my journey began.
He knew, I mean, he had seen kids die from Lyme disease. When he saw the bullseye rash on you, he still didn't think
nothing.
It was nothing.
Nope.
It couldn't happen to you, right?
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the first year I'm running around calling it Lymes, L-Y-M-E-S. I'm spelling it that way. I'm saying it that way. I knew nothing. And I really tried to get educated. The first Facebook book I joined was a group in New Zealand by accident, and I had no idea. So as we started talking, I'm like, I think I belong somewhere a little more local to me. Yeah. I learned about the diet, certain supplements, and went from infectious disease doctor to specialist to this to that. For 3 years, I played that game, and they diagnosed me with cancer 4 years ago and told me I had 2 years to live 2 years ago.
Wow.
They told me I had Parkinson's, MS, lupus, you name it, I had it. You know, as the great imitator,
yeah.
This is what they love to do.
So you knowing that you had Lyme and these doctors knowing that you had Lyme at that point, right? Did they or they didn't?
They based off the inaccurate blood test.
Okay.
So they would do their own blood tests and say, oh, well, you had it, but you're cured from it.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm still sick.
Yeah, that's why you're feeling so good, right? Because you're all cured.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, we think it's Parkinson's. We think it's Crohn's. We think it's cancer. Go out of state to a specialist. Do this, do that. Right before I started treatment, I found an infectious disease doctor that was willing to do a PIC Lyme for me for 28 days. And he told me, it's not Lyme, but I'll lie to your insurance company and give you 28 days Herceptin. And when you're still sick, what are you going to do? And I said, keep fighting. And I did 28 days. It was a very hard 28 days. I had to travel an hour one way just to get to this hospital for my infusions. I did it through Christmas, through New Year's. I wasn't able to work because I couldn't lift over 10 pounds because of the PICC line, obviously. And I had no oral antibiotics to back it up and really no supplements to protect my gut. That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
So
I then found out about.
So I mean, what kind of symptoms were you dealing with up to that point? I mean, for like Parkinson's, MS, cancer. I mean, these are some serious diagnoses.
Yeah, I had a Bell's palsy that would come and go. I called it my monster face. I would have a total slope face, and with rest, it would go away. And then with working, it would come back. And it was a vicious cycle. So I went to a local neurologist who, when I went in there and showed her pictures of my face, she said, well, Bell's palsy doesn't come and go. You need to stop crying. This isn't a big deal. And she ordered an MRI. Then I got a call to come back in, and this time she handed me a box of tissues and said, this is very serious. You have a cancerous mass in your neck. You need to do an MRI with contrast, and you need to go out of state to talk to a specialist.
Wow.
When I did, the specialist told me that it was benign and cheap, and so deep in my neck, they couldn't even biopsy it. And all my symptoms, all my issues were from Lyme. I dealt with all over body aches, like nonstop, constant pain, exhaustion, mood swings, you name it, I had it.
Did you have the brain fog as well?
Stomach. What's that?
Did you have the brain fog as well?
Oh, I still do.
Okay.
That's one thing that just I haven't been able to conquer yet. So that doctor said that all your issues are from Lyme. He referred me to the hospital's infectious disease doctor. Mm-hmm. When I saw him, I had put all my hope in one basket again. And he said, well, he was all of like 20. He was like a Doogie Howser. And he said, Lyme isn't scientifically proven. I don't think it's Lyme. I think it's MS. And let's treat for that. And I was just like, no, 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 no. So I finally got hooked up with my Lyme doctor, who works, thank God, with my insurance. So all my labs are covered in 100%. Very, very willing to work with me on the cost of supplements and guide me. Mm-hmm. And when I started my journey, she said, treatment is hard. It's like a roller coaster. You're going to have lots of downs and maybe a little up for like an hour or so, and then back down. She said, but slowly you'll have more ups and less downs, and you'll start to feel better. So we treated for about a year and a half, and COVID came, and she changed my antibiotic regimen to erythromycin and hydrochloroquine. I'm saying that wrong. I know I am.
Hydroxychloroquine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, for the lupus or
for the Lyme.
Yeah, okay.
Like when I went to her and had my blood tests and everything,
yeah,
and I went back 2 weeks later, She said, you're not crazy. It's Lyme with 8 co-infections, including the mother gene. Mm-hmm. And all I could do is cry tears of relief.
Yeah, like, finally, really. Somebody's acknowledging that you're actually sick and that it's Lyme.
That is validation.
Yes.
That you are not crazy here.
Right.
So she started treatment, and I was sick. It was hard. And I have a daughter, and I was a single mom. Obviously, I left my ex that told me that. One thing I want to point out more than anything is stress is just absolute worst thing that you could possibly do to yourself when you're sick with Lyme or anyone in general. I mean, stress just overall health really, really harms you. And especially when you have Lyme, I mean, it just sets everything off like a firing board.
And there are a lot of people that see that they've conquered Lyme, and then they go through very stressful situations, and lo and behold, the Lyme flares up again. Yeah,
yes,
so it's a big factor that you have to manage and monitor for the rest of your life, you know, mm-hmm. when dealing with Lyme.
And stress.
Some
is under our control, and then, you know, some is not.
Yeah.
If you have just a horrible traumatic event in your family or your finances or just so many things that are out of our control to try to keep it managed. But yeah, that's my number one trigger for my Lyme absolutely is stress. So it's important to point that out.
Absolutely. And I know so many people that suffer immensely and can't afford treatment and have tried every avenue under the sun and can't find relief. And if it was me and if I was rich, I would find that cure and there would be no more suffering. There would be no children dying from this.
I wish it was like one, because when you're dealing with Lyme, it's so multifactorial there, and each individual is so individualized as to what you need to do to address the Lyme in that person.
Yeah.
So I wish you could say that we have a cure for Lyme, but it's like always hunting a moving target.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got all the co-infections, you've got mold, you've got parasites. There's just so many things that go into it.
And you have the person that all of them exist within. You know, what's going on within that person? How are they able to detoxify? How is their immune system? How are their adrenals? How are their thyroid? How, you know, all nutrition? I mean, all of those things.
I agree.
Yeah.
So what did your treatment protocol look like when you first started? Was it all antibiotics?
Antibiotics and the Horowitz protocol.
The Horowitz, okay.
Great.
But no two people are the same. Like you saying, you know, we can't cure with just one magic cure. No two people are the same. So what works for me may not work for somebody else. My life partner suffered for 13 years with horrible migraines. That was his only symptom. And a lot of chronic fatigue. And he went to a neurologist finally to get help. They tested him for Lyme. They said Lyme. He went on the antibiotics for a month. And just like that, he was better. But he also left a very stressful marriage. Very stressful. And I think that made a huge difference for him.
Yeah, there's definitely no one shoe fits all with Lyme. And that's why these podcasts are so great, is because, you know, people that are listening, they're either battling Lyme themselves or somebody they know or their loved ones. And it gives them such a huge picture as to what can cure Lyme, you know, what can make you better. And so it's not just, you know, when I got sick and found out, I thought I needed antibiotics. And I thought that was the only way to get rid of it. Well, come to find out, yeah. I didn't take any antibiotics and got rid of it. But there's just so many different ways to treat. And I also think that, you know, say you're on the Horowitz protocol or the Buhner protocol or whatever, I think that if something isn't working for you at that particular time, I always tell people, don't throw away your supplements, because you could be 6 months down the road, a year down the road, and maybe that particular supplement is going to work now for you. So I think at different times, different things can also help you. So it's nice to hear everybody's stories about all the different ways to treat it.
You should see my plethora of stuff pile of different things I have that I've tried and said, okay, well, not now, but maybe later. Or I've helped others and said, here, well, I have this or I have this. And, you know, take these and see how you do with them. At one point in time, I remember probably about a year before I started treatment, I tried the actual tapeworm medicine for horses. I tried oral and scalp ivermectin. Mm-hmm. And I treated with that for 6 months, and it was miserable.
What did you experience?
A lot of body aches, a lot of exhaustion. My chief complaint was body pain, back pain, mm-hmm. back pain especially, a certain spot in my back, and it was not enjoyable.
So it must have meant that it was impacting your bugs in some fashion, because otherwise you wouldn't really feel that back pain.
Yeah. So. I still do back pain. I mean, it comes and goes, but I'm so grateful that I'm able to do what I'm able to do, mm-hmm. and help other people and work and just, you know, have that ability. And I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
But it was a very long road.
And so you started on this journey with this practitioner that finally listened to you, finally was kind of willing to treat you in a fashion that, you know, and you did the antibiotic, you did the Horowitz program, you felt horrible in the beginning. I mean, how long did it take before you start to feel, I'm feeling some improvement, I'm getting some hope? How long did that take?
Once COVID came, we switched my antibiotics. It was like an overnight switch.
Oh.
Wow.
It really was. I mean, I still, don't get me wrong, I still had bad periods and all, but they didn't last nearly as long. I was able to work more, do more. And we also had tested my colon and found that I had 4 co-infections with Bibesia and 4 other co-infections in my colon. Mm-hmm. And we started treating that with Diflucan. And that made a big difference, too.
Great. Wow. Great.
What types of things did you do to help detox your body? Because I know detoxing is very important.
Soaks. I swear by soaks. I had a sauna. It was not for me. I would hex from it every single time, but my Epsom salt soaks, which I call my witch's brew, I had specific things I would do for them, you know, about 4 cups of Dr. Teal's muscle and joint relief, sudsing Dr. Teal's, baking soda, hydrogen peroxide, just a little bit, but that was always my go-to, along with dry brushing, massage,
a couple different variety of things, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So a lot of people do use the infrared sauna. So you were herxing really bad from that?
I wound up selling mine to a girl that lives in New Jersey that loves hers. But for, it was not for me.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
And we tried adjusting the temperature lower, shorter amount of time. We tried everything.
And was there anyone that looked at your genetic SNPs to see if how you're able to detoxify?
Not that I can recall, no.
Okay. So, 'cause that sometimes can be an interesting thing with if you're reacting that way to infrared sauna, you just feel horrible. It could be that your pathways, your detox pathways, genetically, you have a hard time to detoxify, and just makes you feel bad. So then there are tests out there that you can run, to see which ones that are abnormal, and then there are certain nutrients you can take in order to be able to support those genetic weaknesses that we're born with.
So would there be more than like the MTHFR testing as far as genes go?
Yeah, the MTHFR, it has been popularized, but it's just one out of many, many genes that you want to look at. At least 80 of them that you want to look at.
Oh, wow. And that's good to know because, I think that killing Lyme and detoxing, they're both just as important. Mm-hmm. And if your body isn't able to detox, I think you could be doing more damage to it by continuing to kill and allowing these toxins to just stay in your body. Mm-hmm. You've got to get them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was chatting with Dr. Neil Nathan. He wrote the book Toxic about a week or so ago. And that's his sentiment as well. I mean, to really support the detox pathways, control the immune system from overreacting, and doing that a lot before you kind of start killing too much. So it could just be a little bit of that, and that you that made it
I'm
very
sure
hard.
It is.
Yeah. So
I see my Lyme doctor Thursday, so I'll definitely mention it.
Yeah, do it. That'd be great. I'm curious to see. So it was you were on one set of antibiotic and then you switched and then all of a sudden, boom, you just felt a huge difference. And what did that difference feel like? What kind of symptoms were alleviated when you felt that difference?
The chronic pain. I was able to sleep through the night. I'm sorry. I know I'm so tired right now, and I'm slurring my words, and I'm sorry. It's just been a very long day.
That's okay.
Oh, you are fine.
I'm impressed that you're here talking to us, after having had such a long work day and all things going on today.
Well, thank you. What were we talking about?
That's okay. So if you were on antibiotics and one set of antibiotics, you felt horrible, then you switched antibiotics and boom, you had a shift and you felt much better. You said kind of like body pain was much less. What else did you notice different?
I had energy.
Yeah.
My mood swings weren't as intense. I had hope again. It wasn't a day in and day out. I'm sick, and just focusing and honing in on the sickness. Yeah. And it was almost a little terrifying because I'd never been here before. I never felt good like this. And I had been sick for so long that I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. And being that I'm with someone who's dealt with it, who's had it himself, I said, what do you do? How do you deal with this part of it? And he said, just roll with it. Really, just roll with it. And that was really good advice. And I started pulsing my antibiotics about a year ago, 1 week on, 1 week off. And then probably about these last 6 months, I do only one dose 1 week on instead of two doses. And I'm doing good. So
that's awesome.
I'm actually weaning off Klonopin, which is a very hard battle. I've been on that for a really long time, max dose. And I appreciate the fact that I'm able to do that, not be running for pills, not be running for beta blockers, and just be able to heal.
Yeah.
Isn't that, it's such an amazing feeling to, when your pill boxes, they get smaller and smaller and smaller. It's really, like, you don't get a full belly from your pills in the morning for your breakfast.
Right?
Yeah. You had mentioned something just a few minutes ago, that once you switch to a new antibiotic, that you had that hope, you know, and hope is, I mean, it's such an important word, I think, when you're going through this journey. Because, you know, whether you're just starting out and trying to get your Lyme diagnosis, or whether you're trying to find a doctor that is going to treat you, or what treatment protocol you're going to go through, because it really does feel like you're just at the end of something that is really truly just the beginning of your journey. And it's hard to keep that hope when you're so tired, you don't sleep, you hurt, you don't know your name, you can't think clearly. It's just, it really feels like just the whole world and everything is just so against you that there's just no way out. So I like hearing that you found that place and you found that hope that you needed during your journey, because it's so important to have.
I forgot to mention this. I have a therapist who has Lyme.
Oh.
So she's been in remission 10 years. She fought really, really hard to get well, and she was very, very sick. Her husband took out a second mortgage to send her out of state for treatment. And, you know, family shunned her, friends shunned her. And the isolation that Lyme does to you really takes a toll. Mm-hmm. It does. And I know so many people right now that just suffer and they don't have the support of their family or friends. And they'll post articles, they try to spread awareness. And unless you have it, you are not reading those articles.
Yeah.
You are not.
Yeah. And it, you know, the support is super important. But I also think no matter how much support you have, at some point during our journey, we still feel so alone. We still feel so alone, whether we have all the cheerleaders in the world. It's just a very, very isolating disease. It's a horrible disease. I hate it. I hate Lyme.
Yes,
get it out. Do it. Catharsis.
I need that. Well, I'm so glad to hear that you're doing well and you're getting yourself off of some of those meds that aren't the best meds. But, you know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do to get through those days. I remember I did not want to be on those anxiety meds or the the depression meds. But I tell you what, I think at times they saved my life. You know, I had to do what I had to do. But getting off of them isn't fun. It's not easy, but it's so worth it when you do.
It is.
Well, I thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate you kind of going through your journey. And after such a long day, appreciate that a lot.
Sticking through it. Yeah. Sticking through it with us to share your story and just to give those listeners out there that hope that they need. They need that hope that no matter how sick they are, whether they're struggling financially to figure out a way to get better, there is hope.
Don't quit.
Yep. Don't quit. That's the key. Yep. Yep. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey. It was amazing. I'm glad you're feeling amazing. And thanks for helping us spread awareness about this.
Thank you guys.
Thanks, Yubani. Information information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.